Hi class, we have already learned the most important medical care services for cure of the patients in the hospital and one more aspect of nursing service which is also equally important for all the patients to be taken care of where tender loving care is given by the nurses which also plays a very important role in making the patient physically and emotionally better and preventing many of the complications. So now let's understand some of the technical services which are going to help the patient in making his cure much easier and helping the doctors to take the right decisions for diagnosis, for treatment, for follow-up of the treatment and how the progress of the patient is occurring, which we can understand. Now as far as the technical services are concerned, our learning objective will be the most important, that is hospital laboratory services. In other words, it is also known as pathological services, where the importance of that for the doctor is when the tissue or the body fluids or secretions are being examined by the pathologist during the sickness or even after the death of the person in the form of post-mortem examination. Lot of information is gained by the doctor by these tests which help them in not only diagnosis, follow-up of the treatment, also for the research and further development of various disease solutions. Then comes hospital blood banking. That also is very important because at times in case of major accidents there is lot of loss of blood. And hence to replenish that blood, there is no other fluid available in a way. Although nowadays few fluids like hemocyl and all is available, but it does not give all the factors responsible for the clotting, for the blood oxygenation, etc. And hence many times the blood is required, especially in cases of accidents where a lot of blood is lost or in cases of operations, a major operations where also quite a good amount of blood is going to be lost, especially in heart surgeries and all. Then we'll learn about what are the various criteria to be taken into consideration when selecting a donor for blood. Then an important part of the treatment of any patient is giving them the right kind of drugs, IV injections, intramuscular injections, vaccinations and whatnot. And some of the fluids, IV fluids, the cough syrups and other syrups, the Cital, etc., all these things will come under hospital pharmacy. And finally, hospital pharmacy is a very important aspect of any hospital. It is also very important for the revenue earned by the hospital. And finally, to prevent pilferage and to have the right kind of drugs at the right time, we need to have the right kind of inventory management also in the pharmacy store. Lab services. Here you can see the various kind of machines. It can be semi-auto analyzers, analyzers, fully computerized analyzers, etc. for blood biochemistry, blood serology, finding out the electrolytes, the so many other functions which are done by the laboratory, whether it is parasitology, whether it is microbiology, fungal infections and so many other things. One can use these for endocrines, etc. Now the branch of medicine which employs methods as well as instruments of absolute precision for the examination of secretions and excretions of the body, human body, and its functions whereby we can test them, we can find out their chemical composition, their physical properties, their acid base, their pH, etc. If there are any abnormal cells in that, whether there is an occult blood in urine or blood, whether there are RBCs in that or any crystals are there in the urine, etc. There can be semen analysis to find out the sperm count, abnormal sperms, etc. So all these things are going to be taken care of in the pathological laboratory when the patient is alive, as well as by doing the postmortem examination where we are going to test the tissues, the organs, by having their gross appearance, where some changes are there in the form of carbon deposition, calcium deposition, cholesterol deposition in case of arteries supplying the heart muscle, for example, left coronary artery, right coronary artery, etc., where the patient has died of heart attack. So we can find out from the gross appearance, as well as when these tissues are then examined under electron microscope or microscope under high resolution powers, one can find out by giving the right kind of staining, etc., by doing the frozen section, etc. At times we can diagnose various kinds of diseases, whether the tumor that we have removed, is it when we are doing biopsy, whether the tumor that has been removed, is it cancerous or benign, and if cancerous, how, what are the grading of this cancer, which will tell us what kind of treatment will be required for this patient. Similarly, in case of death of a person, where postmortem examination tells us whether the person has died of heart attack or whether he has died of suicide or it was a murder, based on the various findings, chemical analysis of the body fluids, as well as the histopathological examination of the various body tissues. So it gives us the very important aspect of the human treatment in the form of first diagnosis of the disease, whereby we can find out whether the hemoglobin level is too low, whether there are any changes in the form of WBC count, where there is the count is too high, which suggests it can be leukemia. So this is how we can diagnose the disease. Once the diagnosis is done, we can give the right kind of treatment based on the diagnosis, and how this treatment is affecting the person's recovery, that also we can follow up with doing the repeated investigations to find out whether it is giving us the right kind of results. For example, in case of a heart attack where the person's LDL cholesterol is say 200 milligram per DL, then we give him tablets like rosuvastatin for 3 months. We repeat blood lipid profile, whereby we want to see whether by giving the right kind of rosuvastatin, maybe 40 milligram per day, whether the lipid level has come down from 200 to 130 or 140 or so. And this is how we can follow up with the patient. Similarly, in case of tuberculosis, if the patient is being given treatment, the ESR is usually high at the beginning, and as the patient is gradually improving, the ESR level goes down. It can be for rheumatologists, where we can test the uric acid and RA test and other things like ESR also. So these, all these investigations tell us whether the treatment that we are giving is having the right kind of effects on the patient or not. If not, then it may be multidrug resistant disease, where we may have to change the treatment and we may have to send the blood culture of the culture of the sputum, etc., and antibiotic sensitivity test also we may have to do. So this is how it helps us in not only diagnosing the disease, but also in follow-up of the disease, and it also helps in helping the doctors to choose the right kind of treatment to be given to this patient. And in case of postmortem examination, when we are doing the chemical analysis, when we are doing the histopathological examination of the organs and tissues of the body of the person who has died, we can, it can clinch the diagnosis of the cause of death or what was the morbidity throughout his life. All those things we can ascertain by these kind of examinations. And finally, it also helps us in various kinds of researches to be done. So pathological laboratory is a great place where the pathologists, their assistants, their students who are going in for PhD, who are doing research, by various examinations, by various dilutions of those fluids, secretions for various diseases, if treatments are given, whether they are going to be effective or not, how much effect is it giving or is it not giving at all. So a lot of research can be done in these laboratories, and these research can be utilized at the beginning with the help of some of the animals also in the form of rabbits or the frog or toad or so many other smaller animals can be used for this kind of research also. Now, what are the reasons for dependence on investigations? As we know, day by day, the clinical acumen of the doctors is going down because we are having better and better investigations now available, where at early stage we can diagnose a disease and we can treat the patient so that complications are much less. Well, earlier days, in case of typhoid, the doctor used to say that if a person is getting fever for 1 week and by regular treatment it is not being cured, then we'll send the blood for Vidal test. And it is comparatively a non-specific test, whereby it may show some changes, but that also one reading, you may suspect it, but it does not confirm. When there are serial dilutions and when the sequencing of these tests are done afterwards, and if the titer is increasing in the next week, then only it can clinch the diagnosis is likely to be typhoid case. While today we have got the clot culture available, BACTEC test available, whereby within 48 hours we can diagnose the typhoid case. And in case of children, in case of adults where the tuberculosis is not of the lungs but of some other organs, at times we are not able to diagnose it and the AFB positivity is usually not found. In that case, by doing the biopsy of this where granulomatous tissue may be found or by doing PCR test, it may clinch the diagnosis. And hence, in order to establish accurate diagnosis, we need various kinds of pathological investigations, and newer investigations are added by a lot of research being done in the field of pathology, microbiology, biochemistry, etc. There are specific treatments available for more conditions as compared to earlier years. Earlier years there were limited drugs available, but newer drugs are now available because of the research that goes on constantly with various clinical trials being done. And hence, these treatments will help us in reversing some of the biochemical changes that are occurring in the body, which can be diagnosed by doing the right kind of pathological test and then serially doing it so that we can understand the progress of the disease. There are newer technologies available which are at multiple hospitals, in especially metro cities, but of course they are costly. But at whatever cost it is available, if there is a chronic disease which can be diagnosed at an early stage, definitely it will prevent many complications later and the cure of the patient will be much higher, thereby disability limitation can occur and probably rehabilitation may not be needed for such a case. So newer technology is available and hence we should utilize this newer technology and get the best kind of investigations done. Demand is increasing day by day by the doctors, the paramedicals, for finding out the various kinds of tests which are available in pathology laboratory. And the doctors are practically now dependent on these tests, and the dependency of these tests is increasing day by day among the doctors. In fact, in US, if somebody is having fever, the first thing they do is not just give paracetamol to this patient. First they collect blood, urine and basic investigations they do. So they are so much dependent on these investigations to diagnose a case that gradually the clinical acumen is going down. And because of these tests, even with the Consumer Protection Act, where the doctors may be sued for not doing some of the tests in case some adverse thing turns out later, and hence more and more dependency is there in today's world for these kind of tests. As we have told, it is activation of Consumer Protection Act which is responsible for the doctors sending many more tests for the patients whenever they come to them for diagnosis, for progress of the disease, for defining the treatment and so on and so forth. It also helps us in various kinds of research as well as for academic purposes. Also, some of the things are required to be known, especially in case of postmortem examination, etc. It helps us in understanding the disease, their risk factors, their future progress, and how to prevent it, what measures to be taken on public health measures, etc., which all these things can be deducted from the various kinds of pathological investigations done and the research taken care of. Now, let's understand what are the various types of laboratories usually available in a bigger hospital. One is OPD pathology laboratory, because there are multiple OPDs, and in every OPD around 20 to 30% of patients will be told to undergo some or the other investigations minimum, maybe 50%, and hence the availability of the OPD laboratory near the OPDs is very much essential, whereby all the consultants can directly refer them there itself. Usually the OPDs are ground floor, so there itself they can undergo tests, and the results, reports also will be available at a faster rate. And most of the common basic investigations can be taken care of in OPD basis itself, or can be collection of the blood at least can be done in the OPD pathology laboratory, and then the samples can be sent up where the detailed kind of machines are available for various different tests. So that is the central pathological laboratory. It can be on the fifth floor, fourth floor, depending on the hospital's requirement, and there are multiple kind of tests available, right from the histopathology to tissue pathology to the blood biochemistry to serology to electrolytes to blood gas analysis, for so many other things for research, etc. also. So central pathological laboratory is there where all kinds of tests can be done, say parasitology, can be fungal infections, can be some of the rare things, endocrinology, etc., where at times you may require the blood collection, at least 20 samples to be taken before the test can run, because of the auto analyzers which are there for such tests, which are very expensive, and unless you give around 20 tests to them, it is not viable for the pathological laboratory to perform these tests, and hence there can be so many collaterals around where the samples can be collected from there also, so that 20 tests can be run in one time. Then there is an emergency laboratory in casualty also, because some of the basic tests are required to be done in casualty. For example, when a patient comes with fever with chills, at that time you may require CBC urine, routine microscopic and blood MP to be done, at times dengue. So emergency laboratory test, blood gas analysis, etc., are also required in emergency laboratory. So one can have one laboratory attached to emergency department, and there are ward laboratories also where the basic investigations like CBC, ESR, urine routine test, etc., can be done there itself, so that the basic routine tests which are most of the patients are undergoing can be easily taken there, and the reports can be available to the doctors at a faster rate, and no need of transporting these samples every now and then to the central laboratory. Now, as far as the laboratory function classification is concerned, one is anatomic study, where the tissues of human body are examined, gross examination as well as microscopic examination, histopathological examination, etc. And there are clinical pathological tests which are there in the form of bacteriology, where we are going to learn about the various kinds of germs. In local language, people are telling bugs. So it can be various kinds of infections in the body cavities, in the body fluids. It can be septicemia all over body, it can be blood infection, it can be urine infection, it can be stool infection. So bacteriology tells us, in case of urine there can be gonococcal infection, in case of pneumonia, lungs, there can be various kinds of viruses or other bacteria. So bacteriology helps us in diagnosing various kinds of bacterial infections, and many of the hospital acquired infections are usually bacterial, so we can find out that also. And some of the multi drug resistant also bacteria are there, which we can find out by doing the culture sensitivity test also. So bacteriology helps us a lot. Then comes serology, where sera are examined for the patients based on ESR and so many other investigations. Then biochemistry, routine blood biochemistry in the form of blood sugar fasting PP to diagnose diabetes, lipid profile to diagnose hypercholesterolemia, hypertriglyceridemia, BO and creatinine, which is required to find out the renal function test, then serum bilirubin, SGPT, GGT, etc. will help us in finding out the liver function test. Hepatitis B, HBsAg can be done, HCV can be done. So this is how we can diagnose various kinds of hepatitis. So biochemistry, blood biochemistry is also helping us a lot. Then blood hematology help us in find out the hemoglobin, the packed cell, the MCHC, mean corpuscular hemoglobin concentration, whether a person is suffering from iron deficiency anemia, where microcytosis will be there, whether the person is suffering from megaloblastic anemia, where it is macrocytosis, can be B12 deficiency. So blood bank, I mean hematology, is a very, very essential part of the clinical pathological investigations. It also helps us in finding out the leukemia, which is a blood cancer. We can even do the bone marrow biopsy, where you can find out the blood cells, which are abnormal blood cells also from that. And it also helps us in grouping cross-matching of the blood in case of later, in case of blood bank. And it also helps us in finding out the donors, etc. So hematology is a very important clinical laboratory. Parasitology, various kinds of parasites are there, especially in case of stool in the form of E. histolytica, in the form of the hookworms, tapeworms, schistosomiasis, etc. So one can find out all those things. Then blood bank is a very important aspect of any hospital, where we are collecting the blood from donors. Of course, we are selecting the right kind of donors, we are preserving it at the right temperature, at the right kind of environment, and we are doing the plasmapheresis, whereby we are even finding out the components of these blood which are required to be given to the patient. Histology is the tissue examination, whereby we are trying to find out the, in the biopsy or in the autopsy also, we are trying to find out what are the diseases that are there from which the patient is suffering. In case of cancer, whether it is cancerous or benign, whether the cancer growth is very advanced or not, all those things histology will tell us. Urine analysis tells us in the form of various kinds of urinary tract infections. In the case of urinary stones, there can be calcium oxalate crystals or some other crystals. Blood can be there in case of cancer, painless hematuria when it is there, and multiple RBCs are seen. Endocrinology, various kinds of endocrine examination can be done, which tells us whether a person is suffering from hyperthyroidism, hypothyroidism, pituitary problem, growth hormone problem, insulin problem, where diabetes is there. And to find out the basal metabolic rate of the person also help us in clinching the diagnosis of hyperthyroidism, etc., or some other problem which can be due to some of the other endocrine or some other condition where basal metabolism rate is high or low, which can tell us in addition to our regular kind of investigations. It gives us more light on our diagnosis. Let's go into little more details about the various kinds of components of laboratory. In hematology, we do the study of blood, bone marrow, reticuloendothelial system, blood transfusion in case there are any reactions, to do the grouping cross matching, and even immunohematology, which tells us about some of the immune reactions which can be occurring in the body of the patient. Then there is clinical pathology, where we do the blood sugar, blood lipids, blood sugar fasting PP, or glucose tolerance curve, which tells us about the early stage of potential diabetes, etc. Then we do the HbA1c, that is glycosylated hemoglobin, to find out the average blood sugar of the person for the last 3 months. Because many times what happens, the patients are very careful about just prior to the examination of the blood sugar, they don't take any sweet things, they do lot of exercise, and once the blood sugar comes back to more or less normal, they are very happy, they start taking sugar and other things. Again for next examination they do the same thing. So this does not give us the true picture of the patient's blood sugar, and hence the glycosylated hemoglobin, if we do, it tells us whether the previous 3 months on an average what was his blood glucose level. Then lipids give us an idea about the total cholesterol, high density lipoproteins, low density lipoproteins, which are of course bad cholesterol, VLDL, very low density lipoproteins, even lipoprotein A and other things nowadays we are doing. Then proteins will give us an idea about whether the urinary proteins are more, which tells us about the kidney disease or some liver problem. Electrolytes give us an idea about whether the electrolyte imbalance is occurring due to some kidney problem or some other problem in case of septicemia, etc. Hormones will tell us about the thyroid problem, whether it is hypothyroidism, hyperthyroidism, pituitary, growth hormone. It can be insulin test can tell us whether there is an insulin resistance and other things. And the LH, FSH, all those hormones will tell us about the reproductive system of a person. So in case of the infertile couple, some of these investigations are very important. And in case of the treatment of IVF, ET, that is in vitro fertilization, embryo transfer, this is a very important aspect of hormone testing for this woman. Then there are various enzymes which tell us whether a person's metabolism is occurring properly, for example, or for giving some of the drugs, we need to know some of the enzymes, whether they are present or not. For example, in case of P. vivax malaria, the person's G6PD, that is glucose-6-phosphate-dehydrogenase, if it is absent, then only primaquine can be given, 7.5 mg twice a day for 14 days. If it is positive, then we cannot give that. So enzymes are also very important. Then comes urine, where it tells us about the routine microscopic both. So urine sugar will tell us about diabetes or diabetes insipidus. The urine albumin will tell us about any leakage of the proteins from the tubules. The crystals will tell us about likelihood of the any stones or even RBCs and occult blood. When it is positive, it can suggest as stones, or it can be sometimes painless hematuria, where it can be the indication of the malignancy also, which tells us to go further for further investigation of cystoscopy, etc. And other body fluids in the form of sputum, where we can find out whether it is gram-positive or gram-negative infection, or it is acid-fast bacilli, where it is a tuberculosis infection. Urine examination further can tell us about culture sensitivity test of antibiotics in case of chronic urinary tract infection. Saliva can tell us about the pH of it and some of the other toxins which can be secreted in that can be found out. Then bile can tell us about the bile composition, which tell us about further any problem in the liver is there. So various kinds of body fluids are there which are examined by these kind of clinical pathological tests, and it help us not only in diagnosis but also in prognosis and also in case of further treatment, the effectivity of the treatment, etc. Then comes morphological pathology, where it is morbid anatomy, which can be done in case of autopsy after the death of a person, where the gross anatomy tells us whether there is a carbon deposition in the lungs in case of coal workers pneumoconiosis, or whether there is any cholesterol deposition in the arteries of the heart, where it can be the sudden death of a person due to the major blockage in the arteries of the heart. So morbid anatomy tells us a lot about the diagnosis of the patient, and in case of a live person where on the table at time frozen sections are done to find out about the diagnosis in case of biopsy, which tells us whether the person is suffering from acute or chronic kidney disease or liver disease or any other organ disease or even cancer or benign tumor, etc. Then histopathology gives us an idea about various disease condition of the organs, which tell us what treatment to be given, and exfoliative cytology also give us an indication about the malignant cells if present and tell us to do further investigations regarding the grading of the cancer, etc. Then microbiology, in some of the hospitals there is a MD microbiology separately who is head of the department for microbiology, while some of the hospitals the pathologist, MD pathologist is the head of this, and microbiology is taken care of by the MSc microbiology or sometimes even PhD microbiologist. So under microbiology we have got bacteriology, which tells us about the various kinds of bacteria. Parasitology, which tells us about the various kinds of parasites present in the stool, in the urine, in the CSF. Mycology, which is regarding fungus. Nowadays a separate branch of fungal infections also has come, because better and better investigations with various new equipments have come up because of the HIV prevalence. Also nowadays lot of fungal infections are increasing. Then virology, based on the various viruses, it can be influenza virus, SARS virus, HIV virus, human immunodeficiency virus. And immunology, which is a very important branch of pathology, where we can find out the antigen antibody reactions. There are so many immunologically affected patients whereby immune deficiency is HIV 1 and 2. Then there are immunological disorders also in case of SLE and rheumatic problems and so many others. Then comes the medical biophysics, where radioisotopes are used, especially in case of treatment of hyperthyroidism, etc. And clinical physiology in the form of electrocardiogram to diagnose various kinds of conditions of the heart. It can tell us regarding the first degree, second degree, third degree heart block. It can tell us about the abnormal rhythm, multiple ventricular premature beats. It can tell us about the myocardial infarction. During stress test, it can tell us about the ST depression showing the stress test positive for inducible ischemia, which can then tell us that the patient should undergo angiography. Then comes phonocardiography, which is 2D echocardiography, which also is very important investigation for heart, where it tells us about the thickness of the walls of the heart, the valves are there, whether they are proper or not, whether there is stenosis or regurgitation. It can tell us about endocarditis. It can tell us about the function of the ventricular ejection fraction. So it has got many advantages. Then heart function tests can tell us about the various conditions of the heart in case of the electrophysiological study and so many other things. Blood volume examination can tell us about whether the person is going into heart failure, if it is the less of blood going or more of blood going outside. And spirometry tells us about the lung function test, which tells us about whether there is a small airway obstruction or major airway obstruction, or whether there are the changes due to the restrictive kind of pathology, where it can be due to asbestosis or pneumoconiosis, etc. So whether it is the obstructive pathology in the form of bronchial asthma or in the form of the industrial TDI, etc., leading to the asthma, and it can tell us even about the restrictive type of pathology, which can be due to the interstitial fibrosis of the lung or asbestosis, etc. Then estimation of basal metabolism tells us about whether the basal metabolic rate is proper or high or low, which gives an indication regarding hyperthyroidism or hypothyroidism, etc., or it can be growth hormone problem, etc. Then renal function tests tell us about the kidney functions, whether the blood urea nitrogen or creatinine is proper. If the creatinine is more than 6, 6.5, at times the patient may need dialysis. Then portal pressure estimation can tell us about the liver function and whether there is a, it's a case of portal hypertension or not, and in that case he may need the operation also if it is bad. If there are esophageal varices, which can lead to hematemesis, and it can be a major problem for the patient. In many of the liver diseases, cirrhosis, etc., portal pressure estimation is important.